Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email or not. I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not, it does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping. And it's like, I like that. I mean, I know it's tough and it's hard, and we talked on the phone, and you know, just in case people don't know, this is going to be a much more open or exposed or vulnerable teaching, and if it's not the kind of like teaching you want, you just want to hear expository, today is not the day for expository. Yesterday.
That's right. Thursday
was expository, which we're going to do a replay on Saturday, just to let you know.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, on Christmas, new radio, not a best of. It'll be the first time you'll ever get a chance to hear my testimony on radio. I spent three hours editing, and I got my testimony down to 55 minutes and 23 seconds.
You must have spent a lot of time.
You have no idea how much time. And this is just covering the first like 3, 4, 5 years. I've been a Christian for 41 years. I've got about 30 elements of testimony to kind of bring back. This has got nothing to do with the book I wrote. It's got nothing to do with any of that. So it's going to be the first time ever on Christmas. So I encourage you to check it out, and we're going to do a replay of that at some point as well. Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. when people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's you know, it's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Now, we come back, I'm going to talk about this from a scriptural point of view. You know I'm going to do it, so keep in mind, you've got a lot coming your direction. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.